What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 250th episode of the Pokemon Podcast live on Twitch. The sponsorships are just out of control. The amount of money Twitch is paying us right now to do this is unreal. No, I'm kidding. I'm your host, SBJ, and hopefully you can hear me. If you can't, I apologize. Before I introduce anyone, I am just going to make sure that you guys can hear me, because for our non-Twitch watchers, we are doing this live on Twitch, and yeah, those are words. I'm going to switch back here. Okay, I am your host, SBJ. This is the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective, and to my left on the stream, I have Travis.
It was a flip of the coin for me to know if that was actually going to be me or Will, because I have no idea where I am in the stream. I decided that because we hit 250 episodes, I was sort of in a nostalgic mood, so I went to see how long ago it was that I joined this show, and it was almost, in a month, it will be 6 years ago, and that is, because I'm 24 years old, that's quite literally a quarter of my life. How weird is that?
Baby, this special episode, we will read Travis's original email. No, I'm just kidding. I heard my mouth was
and
not...
I have been dreading it.
I heard my mouth was not synced to my vocals, so I hopefully fix that now. To my right, I have Will.
So I had two things to say. One, I was concerned that people might think that I have given up on diet and exercise just because I don't talk about marathon training all the time. But that's incorrect. I still go to the gym 6 times a week, and I've just been doing a lifting program. And the other was, I was considering replacing, instead of having my face on the video, putting up a Vanguard card and just having that be me for the whole show. But I decided not to do that.
It's a bummer. It sounded like a brilliant idea.
Isn't that something from Infinite Jest or some other David Foster Wallace thing where in the future there's video calls, but everyone just starts putting up little pictures instead because they don't want to be seen? Isn't that a thing?
I think that's from Infinite Jest, but it could be from one of his other writings. Infinite Jest was very about like the 80s, 90s. So, okay. Some other story by the former David Foster Wallace.
All right. Well, now we have that settled.
Glad that's packed up. That's in the bag. What do we have for you guys? I should lay out the show, shouldn't I? So we're going to do our off-topic thing like we normally do, and then we are going to tackle some Pokemon news. And then after that, we have our main topic, which I'm not sure what that'll be quite yet.
Episode 250, yay!
Yep, 250 episodes. And then we are going to do Pokemon of the Week, but before we get to Pokemon of the Week, we're going to answer some questions in the Twitch chat. Whether that's Pokemon or non-Pokemon related, we'll go ahead and do that as well. And I heard my voice/video is still off, so I'm going to try to adjust that. And if you are watching, you can use the hashtag PKMNcast for it to appear on the stream below Travis. That's a thing. It kind of works. It kind of doesn't. So we'll do that, and I will continue to monitor chat and adjust any audio from there on out. And yeah, so before we do news, Will, how was your week?
I mean, it was great, but I just had this amazing realization. You got a This Is Fine dog, too.
Yeah, I do. Can you see it? Oh, I don't think...
I can see it right over your shoulder.
You tell them about the This Is Fine dog. I will go get the This Is Fine dog, because they can't see it on stream because it's cut.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, the This Is Fine dog comes from... And if you actually do just a web search on Know Your Meme for This Is Fine dog, you'll actually see the original comic strip, and it's a little dog sitting in a burning house, and you see all the flames around, and the dog says... this is fine. I am okay with what's happening right now. Everything will be all right. And he just continues sipping his coffee until, you know, the inevitable consequence of being in a burning house occurs. But the original artist wasn't making any money off that very popular internet meme of This Is Fine dog. So worked with someone to make a plush stuffed This Is Fine dog on Kickstarter. And it turns out we both bought one, and I keep one in my office because that is the most accurate description of my work life. The building burning down around us and everyone's enjoying their coffee.
Yeah, first off, one of the best Kickstarters I think I've ever backed. Secondly, it shipped really, really fast. And thirdly,
they gave you bonus stickers.
I got the bonus stickers. This plush is really big.
It's really big and it's really soft.
It is pretty soft.
It's really, really soft.
Soft. Very soft.
Yeah, if you look on my Instagram, you can get a sense of how large it is versus 8.5 by 11. Or, yeah, 8.5 by 11 paper, because there's a lot of that all over my desk.
I mean, people tell me all the time, Steve, you have a small head. No one has ever said that to me, but this is the head to plush dog ratio right here.
How many cats? How many cats?
I would say that This Is Fine Dog is probably one cat big.
I'd say 1.5.
Maybe even, I was going to say like 1.25.
I have big cats at my house, so.
Your cats are about half the size of my cat. Ugh. So,
my friend yesterday, has a Maine Coon, and that thing is huge.
That's not a real cat.
What? Maine Coons are real?
They're like of a different species or something of cat. Oh my god, we said cat, and now my cat's coming over here, and he like bites. Oh no. We may have to break this up in a minute. Oh, why did we say cat so many times? I went to Island Games yesterday, and I actually got to play games with podcast celebrity Jin, who met up with me, and one of our listeners, Lindsay, who's in our Slack community.
And we that's awesome.
What games did you play?
What'd you play?
We only played Konzume Goddess, and it took us like 4 hours to play two games, but we still had like tons of fun.
For people that didn't understand what you just said, that's Vanguard, right?
Nope. Konzume Goddess is a deck building game. And you typically play as Norse gods versus Greek gods. And you build your deck by getting followers and faith points. And you use those to buy warriors. And then you use the warriors to attack the other gods. And you try to get the main opponent god's life force down to zero. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Like deck building, like Dominion?
It's like Dominion, but with a lot more interaction where you're harming your opponents, or if you're on a god team, then you aid your co-god. So, like, the main god starts with 20 life points, and the support gods all start with 10 life points. And when you play team play, no god can actually die, except for the main god, because once the main god hits zero, that team loses. So if you're playing the support god, you, like, play super reckless, because you don't care if your life points get down to zero, because you can't die. That just knocks you out for 5 turns. So we got to play it sometime. All right. Come visit. We'll play it.
I like playing games. Games are my thing. Travis, what's new with you? Give me the Travis down.
Okay, sure. I guess we'll do, because I can't think of anything else to talk about, I guess we'll do an immigration update. I think the fans are liking
deportation update.
Deportation update.
It seems like in these days it might be easier to get deported.
I don't think that joke is funny.
I'm
laughing nervously, but for the record, I don't think that is a funny joke. I'm still at the stage where I am having my education assessed, as I was the other week, but now I got confirmation that they've started, which I thought they had ages ago, because I had sent all my documents up to some place called Guelph, Ontario, to a third party that
Guelph,
Guelph, Ontario, which I assume is pronounced Guelph, which is where a third party organization operates that then assesses people's educational accreditation for the government of Canada. And I sent my forms ages ago, but I just got a notification that says, we have confirmed that the things you sent us ages ago are indeed the things you should have sent us. Now we'll start assessing them. So
right.
One step closer. One step closer to the edge, and I'm about to break.
Oh,
ooh, that's
a joke. It's like a song. They're song lyrics. No?
Oh, I know.
It's like a bad song, and that's the joke?
Yep.
All right.
Totally.
Steve knows bad music.
Yeah, that's true.
The best.
Although I've been listening
music.
To a lot of John Bellion lately, so I have nothing to brag about.
All right. I got nothing new to report. That's all. I mean, I can tell you that I'm still playing Final Fantasy 14. That's still a thing. Still good.
I was up at 1 o'clock in the morning last night, and Steve was playing Final Fantasy 14.
I wasn't because my internet was broken, and so I could at least like log into the game. I couldn't really do anything. Hopefully my internet doesn't break during the stream, but Irina and I did get engaged in Final Fantasy 14, and we do plan on having a virtual wedding. Not to be confused that we are not engaged in real life. I want to make that clear. I appreciate
Very clear.
We are just a couple in real life, but in a video game, we are tying the knot. Crossing the cross, twisting the two,
airing the Moogles.
she's the one who proposed. Is that correct?
Yeah, she said since one day I may or may not propose to her in real life that she wanted to be the one that proposed in game. So she spent 2 hours in Final Fantasy finding the right location, and then told me to follow her, and then she got on her unicorn, and I have a better unicorn. It's a more rare unicorn, that's why it's better. And so I followed her.
Why is that relevant? Sorry, I need to turn my game down, but that's really funny.
So we unicorned off to the said spot, and then she proposed, and now I have a quest in the game to make a ring and do all that. So if you're going to play Final Fantasy 14, you can come to my wedding if you want, because I think I can invite 100 people. But
can you schedule it on a free-to-play weekend, please? Thanks.
All right, I'll let you know when the free-to-play weekend. I think you have to be at least level 15.
That's not going to happen. But wait, the people need some real answers here, because there's a big controversy about this engagement. Did you change your species in order to get engaged? Shame on you, sir.
I did. So
and
I was.
Why?
I was a Lalafell in Final Fantasy, which is this short. Travis, what is the
they
PG?
Look like children.
They look like little kids. I don't know what the PG term of it. I don't want to offend anyone. But they look like kids. They're magical creatures, like hobbits.
Sort of elvish. Looking more elvish looking halflings, I guess would be the fantasy term.
So I was a Lalafell. She was a high elf or whatever, but her character who I helped make looks very much like her, and my character not so much. And one of the reasons I went with the Lalafell, and then after the story we'll get to Pokemon news for those just joining us. So the reason I went with the Lalafell mostly is because I didn't think any of the other races, whether that's Highlander or High Elf or Lizard Guy or Big Fantastic Four Guy, I didn't think any of them looked good. And the beard / 5 o'clock shadow / hair options were not up to my liking. So in most create characters, I either want to look as closely to me as possible or just not me at all and go with something completely different like a Lalafell. So I went with the Lalafell because I wasn't satisfied with the white person customization controls that they offered me. Irene was not having that. She did not want to marry somebody who looked like a child when her character looked so accurate to what she looks like in real life. So she said we couldn't get married unless I changed my appearance, which cost $10, by the way. To something that looked more like me, and I was very against that. And there's a lot
maybe
of benefits.
You shouldn't have blown all your cash on that better unicorn.
Yeah. No, that was a drop in a very hard dungeon. But
time is money, Steve. Shouldn't have spent that time. Should have instead gotten $10 during that time.
Yes, that's true. So I was very against changing my appearance because I liked the way my Lalafell looked, and she was very against marrying somebody who looked like a kid, even though the benefits to marriage are pretty great. Like, you can instantly teleport to your married partner, which is such a huge, like, fantastic bonus. You get this, like, giant chocobo that both of you can ride. You get a couple other things, but there's pretty...
So it's almost like real life, where being able to marry someone gives you economic advantages over people who are not legally allowed to marry.
Exactly, exactly. Final Fantasy marriages are very accurate. So finally, I said that... Finally, I was just like, okay, I will change my appearance, but with the stipulation that as soon as this wedding is done and over, changing back to a Lalafell.
For another $10?
Yeah, for another $10. Wow. I had one free Fantasia, so this whole marriage, besides the $20 it costs to get married in the game, which is probably cheaper than going to a courthouse and getting married in real life.
I could marry you in the state of Maryland for free. Well, besides the legal things that you have to do, but otherwise. Yes, I could perform the ceremony for you.
You spent almost the price tag of a full-priced video game. Well, whatever. Do your thing. Whatever.
Baby steps, Travis. Some of us need a virtual wedding before we commit to the real wedding.
Okay, that's what baby steps means in this context.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's get into some Pokemon news. That was probably the best Final Fantasy. If that story alone doesn't convince you to get Final Fantasy 14 to attend my virtual wedding, I don't know what else will. All right, Pokemon news. First bit of news here is Pokemon Duel released internationally on iOS and Android, the previous Japanese exclusive freemium mobile game, which was called Pokemon Co-Master, has been released under the new name Pokemon Duel. It is a board game-like game of strategy and tactics using Pokemon figures. Players collect and build their own deck from a large range of figures and with different characteristics. Each player will move figures aiming to reach their opponent's goal. First, Pokemon Duel allows both online and local multiplayer. The game plays very similarly to the Pokemon trading figure game. And this game is available in a range of countries, and it was released on both iOS and Google Play. And I have downloaded the game. I have not played the game, but I do know that it sounds like it's broken. But Travis played broken as in it's very slow. I heard there was audio issues. I heard that it has been crashing. I heard this both across Android and iOS. I have an iOS device, but like I said, I've only installed it. I have not played it. I believe before we started, Travis said that they went ahead and installed it and tried it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I've played through the tutorial, which I realize isn't a lot, but a decent enough chunk that I can tell you how the game plays. You're right that it is operating a little slowly. The thing that frustrated me when it originally came out and prevented me from getting more of an idea is that, similar to the recently released Mario Run game that Nintendo put out, the first time you play it, it basically has to download the game after the app installs, and so you're on just like a splash screen waiting for the data to download. With Pokemon Duel, that meant that I couldn't turn the sound off because the game hadn't loaded yet for me to then go into the options and turn off the music. So I was listening to a podcast at that time, so I wanted to listen to the podcast more than I wanted to wait the amount of time for the game to install. So I didn't get as much of a chance to play it as I wanted. You're right that it's a little slow. I would say that before I get into the rules of the game, the UI is very similar to, I don't know if they've changed it since then, but when, what is it, PTCG, the Pokemon trading card game online, whatever that acronym is,
PTCGO.
I feel like it has a very similar user interface to that, which I didn't really like the interface of PTCGO. It's kind of strange. And it's similar on Pokemon Duel. The rule set is pretty simple. You play on this little grid, and you have these figures, and each of them has a speed, or I guess it's called they have movement points, and you can move your figures onto different points in the grid, and your goal is to place one of your figures, all of which are Pokemon, onto your opponent's goal space. So you sort of advance your figures and try to take the opponent's base, essentially. And if you run into another Pokemon, you can't just walk through an enemy Pokemon. You have to battle them to be able to do that. Battles are resolved basically randomly. There's a dial that gets spun of your Pokemon's moveset. There's a chance your Pokemon can miss, chance your Pokemon can dodge, a chance your Pokemon can use a move. If your Pokemon uses a move, the move that does more damage defeats the other Pokemon. And there are also rules about like moves that are purple and moves that are gold that might take precedence over each other, but I don't really need to go into that. It's basically maneuvering units to try and take your opponent's base. It seems pretty simple, like there's not a lot of depth into it. I think the most is trying to come up with a squad of Pokemon that have moves that you can rely on. But like I said, I only played through the tutorial, so I don't know all the depth. But it seems like a pretty basic game. I don't know, I think I might play it a little more, especially now that I'm past the tutorial and can play actual people.
Will, have you given this a shot yet?
Nope, because it got such bad reviews on the Japanese version when it first came out. I was like, this isn't going to hit one of my few remaining time slots when I can do things. I did, you know, like I have unlocked every region in Pokemon Picross, and I have almost have crowned every level in Pokemon Picross. So potentially in another month when I'm completely done with Pokemon Picross, I'll have time for Co-Mistar or a Co-Duel. I always thought the name Pokemon Coma Star was like a reference to like that meme that Ash is like in a coma and that's why he never ages. So it's like Pokemon Coma Star.
He's 11 now, isn't he? Canonically 11 now?
I only just saw the last episode of Pokemon XYZ and cried my eyes out.
Did Ash turn anime? It's really good.
I know it's supposed to be really good. I'll start watching it soon, but all the cartoons I watched yesterday made me cry, which was just a horrible day for me. But anyways, yes, he may be 11. Who knows? He lives in Alola now.
As one does.
The theme music is really good.
I don't think I've heard the American theme song yet, because I watched the two anime episodes prior to them being released, like just YouTube or some illegal stream of, hey, here's the English versions, and they did not have the intro included.
I think the first two episodes are on Pokemon TV now.
Oh, okay. I was
talking about the Japanese version because I've been watching it subtitled.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard the American theme song, actually.
I would be curious of what that sounds like. Back to Duel, though. I feel like this would be a game that I would enjoy, and I haven't opened it because I did want to. It was like, I thought to myself, this is something I could see myself streaming on like a Friday night or just real quick in and out if I'm planning on playing it. So I didn't want to start playing it without airing my airing my complaints, let's say that word because I can say that easier, on air. And so I will wait for the first iOS update, and then if that happens, I will stream that and go from there, I guess. Second bit of news here is probably what people were more excited for. I don't know, maybe people were very excited for Pokemon Duel, but that was a little unexpected. But people were expecting a Pokemon Bank update, which did bring compatibility to Pokemon Sun and Moon. A new update for Pokemon Bank is available. Players will now be able to use Pokemon Bank to transfer Pokemon from X and Y and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire to Pokemon Sun and Moon. Players can use the Poke Transporter to transfer Pokemon from Virtual Console versions of Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow to Pokemon Sun and Moon. Pokemon transferred from Red, Blue, and Yellow will have at least 3 perfect IVs and have their hidden ability. Muninium Z will be distributed to Pokemon Bank users, and it will be available till October 2nd, 2017. This Muinium Z allows Mew to use the Z move Genesis Supernova when held. Genesis Supernova is exclusive to Mew. So there you go. That's something.
Did you see the stuff about the glitch that happens if you try to transfer a missing note up through Pokemon Bank through the
No, but we like can get to that in a second, because I think ports. I have a news article about that. Have you guys...
So I was going to say, did you hear that the ones that you transport up get a different little symbol so that you know that they're transported up?
Yeah, have either of you dabbled in the new Pokemon Bank?
No, I never got Pokemon Bank to begin with.
What? What?
I don't...
Pokemon Bank is everything I wanted in Pokemon.
Travis is like living in 1999 still, but
in the distant future of the year 1999,
I am going to finish my regional Pokedex on Pokemon Moon completely within Pokemon Moon before I attach it to Pokemon Bank.
Man, Travis actually lives by candlelight too. That's why his camera is so dark. He pays
I just have a really bad webcam.
He's actually in Cloverfield. What was that movie? Oh no! Why can I never remember the name? The sequel to Cloverfield.
Ten Cloverfield Lane.
That's where he's living right now.
He's under 700 feet of ground right now.
That's a really good movie.
It is a good movie.
Came out of nowhere.
It's really good until the last like half hour.
What? That part Whatever. Was so
okay,
wild.
Wait, this is not Pokemon Bank update, so we have to talk about that some other time.
I did update my Pokemon Bank last night, and I transferred all my Omega Ruby X Pokemon from Bank to Sun, and then transferred them all back, and then realized that really didn't do anything. I think it filled out like maybe 30 or 40 Pokemon that was missing. So the good news from what I've gathered from last night's Pokemon Bankscapade is that I only need 101 more Pokemon to complete my Alolan Pokedex, which seems pretty doable now. Opposed to, I think prior to that, I needed around 140. So that's a little bit motivating. In the slightest, I suppose. I thought, though, that I read, and maybe I was wrong, that once Pokemon Bank updated, you wouldn't need to transfer Pokemon to the game. It would just automatically read what's in your bank and apply that.
Yeah, I had heard that there's like some sort of synchronization that goes on that automatically updates your in-game Pokedex with all the ones from Pokemon Bank. Without you having to physically move them into the game and out of the game again.
So maybe it did that right off the bat, and me dragging 14 boxes to the game and then dragging them back was useless. I'm not sure.
Completely unnecessary.
I'm just talking about what consumed about a half hour of my life last night. But no, I was very excited that the Pokemon Bank stuff worked. This leads into more Pokemon Bank news. That Pokemon Bank's Mew glitch ban cracked by Pokemon Sun and Moon players. It looks like... So, Travis, you said that something about Missing No and Mew. Do you want to explain that real quick before I read this article?
I don't know if I'll get all the details right, but if memory serves from... I probably saw the same article you did. If you transfer Missing No from the 3DS port of Red and Blue, Missing No obviously being the glitch Pokemon in Red and Blue, the Sun and Moon won't know how to, or Pokemon Bank rather, won't know how to handle it, so it'll briefly appear in the box and then disappear, and that will cause the names of all the Pokemon next to it to shift over one space because there was a Pokemon that appeared there and then disappeared. So like the Pokemon to the right of where you put it will now be called Missing No, and then the one to the right of that will be called whatever the Pokemon to the left of that was called. And the article I read wasn't very specific, so I wasn't able to determine if that was permanent or just on that screen because I did not buy the 3DS ports, but it was sort of funny to me that they hadn't considered what would happen if you brought up Missing No, given that that is a glitch in Pokemon that has such mythical, like,
it's been
legendary
around,
status
been around the block.
That you would
and that
think,
they left
oh,
in
people,
the game. Yeah.
Right, and they're like, people are going to try to do this. I wonder what will happen in our software if they do. Apparently they didn't do that.
Do you think, then this is me maybe getting ahead of myself, but do you think that, so we know Virtual Console is coming to the Nintendo Switch. They said that because people asked, hey, if I already bought these Virtual Console games, do I have to buy them again on Switch? Like I had to do for Wii to Wii U, even though they were discounted on Wii U, but I still think that was like a ripoff because I bought 50-some games on Wii expecting that these digital games that I purchased on Wii would last forever, but they didn't. And so ever since I got burned with that, I'm very hesitant to buy anything on Virtual Console. And that's primarily why I didn't buy Red, Blue, or Yellow. With that being said, if Red, Blue, and Yellow come to Switch and they're Pokebank compatible, that's a would you want to see that? Do you think that's a possibility? I'm just kind of throwing that for open discussion.
Well, I think since that was a single screen game, it would be a perfect port, you know, very easy to port over. But I think that they're going to keep the two lines with 3DS gradually dying out, so Switch and 3DS, until they're ready to release the Switch U, which will replace everything. Switch U!
Yes, the old Switch U. I would just be really into... It's not that I would be really into playing Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow again. I definitely want to go through those games again. Actually, I would prefer if it was Fire Red or Leaf Green, but if they finally fix this whole Nintendo account issue and have everything somewhat synchronized and recorded, and I'm not buying these games 100 more times, I would definitely be down to purchase and play that and have that stuff transferred out to Bank. Because now that Red, Blue, and Yellow work with Bank, that in itself wants me, like, I do want to buy those games and play them now that they work with Bank, but I just know that the 3DS will eventually die off. It's 6 years old at this point. Most consoles make it to about 8 years, maybe, you know, if you're PlayStation, like 9 years, but I don't want to buy those games with a new console coming out with the possibility of that new console having Virtual Console games, and more likely the possibility of me having to buy those games again because Nintendo doesn't want to honor stuff you've purchased in the past, apparently.
So one question I have is, so when I set up my Wii U, I transferred my Wii into my Wii U, and the Wii Virtual Console games that I had transferred in too, you just have to go into the virtual Wii console and then go into the virtual console.
that is like
That's not so bad.
No, it is terrible because once you go into Wii Virtual Console, it reboots the system into Wii mode, so everything gets disconnected. Your friends list is gone. Your tablet doesn't work.
I have no friends.
It is a terrible system. Just let me transfer the 128 megabyte Excitebike. And I'm being generous. I'm sure Excitebike's like 14 megabytes. Just transfer that to the core system. Are you already emulating it? Why emulate an emulator to... All right, let's talk about...
Okay, so can I tell you something that's completely true and real, besides the fact that I always laugh whenever one of Steve's cats walks behind him? I think Cindy just walked in the room.
Yeah, cats everywhere.
I was literally thinking this morning, because I was listening to another podcast about... star stuff that we won't name.
There are other podcasts?
Yeah, and this one's about outer space stuff, but I'm not going to give them any listeners. Anyways, I was thinking, I want to set up a data center on the moon that hosts a VR, like a virtual reality environment, where people on the Earth can go into their VR headsets and have a virtual experience of being on the moon, but because the data center is actually on the moon, their virtual environment is hosted on the moon, so they're virtually on the moon on the moon. Do you understand?
What? No.
That is like the greatest idea ever.
It seems like that would be a pretty expensive setup just for the joke of saying, and also our server is on the moon.
No, that's not how we're selling it. You are virtually on the moon on the moon.
I thought you were going to say that you would set up some sort of
virtual environment. That's what I'm trying to say. You're virtually on the moon. Mm-hmm. On the moon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought what you were going to say was you're going to set up some sort of like rover that could be controlled remotely, and then have the people with their VR headsets actually control something that is on the moon. But what's the point?
Too much. Solar powered data center on the moon. Host a virtual environment where you're on the moon and you're virtually on the moon. On the moon. That's all it is. Kickstarter launches March 2nd, 2017.
What about helium 3 powered data center? Because isn't there a lot of helium 3 on the moon?
Possibly, but solar power is abundant and easy to obtain.
Okay.
All right. Pokemon Bank's Mew glitch ban cracked by Pokemon Sun and Moon players. You can now get your illegal Mew into the games. Before I read this article, what? I don't understand why. I'm just so confused why there is this big hoopla about illegal.
It's a joke because Hoopa is a Pokemon.
No,
okay.
It was a pun. About illegal Mews or Mews not obtained in the right way. Pokemon gave us two opportunities in the last 12 months to get a legal Mew very easily.
Illegal Mew?
A legal Mew. Yeah.
Three words, A-legal. Not two.
A Mew that is legal. They gave us two opportunities for that.
Do you want to draw this out, or do you want me to give you the easy, fast explanation?
Let me read the article.
Okay.
A compatibility update for Pokemon Bank, the Nintendo, this is from Polygon.com, the Nintendo 3D storage app has finally made software usable in Pokemon Sun and Moon, went live. Although Pokemon Bank users get a special item for Mew, one of the rarest Pokemon, it is almost impossible to capture the creature through official methods. Instead, players play the Virtual Console version of Red, Blue, and Yellow, used a glitch to get Mew in their collections. I believe that glitch is, going to the truck, looking under the truck. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But Pokemon Bank players won't allow players to move over a Mew obtained through the glitch into Sun and Moon unless they use this extremely complex method. Reddit has come up with a step-by-step guide to do that. Once they go through everything, they will be able to move their Game Boy version to Pokemon Sun and Moon, because pretty much what happens is Mew gets a new compatible ID number, which is what is preventing Mew from getting moved to the first place. And then they go into Sun and Moon. And this will also lead into our last article, but from my understanding, there's no legal way to obtain Mew in Red, Blue, and Yellow. Is that correct?
The Virtual Console versions, yes.
Correct. And the only legal way to get it back in 1999 was by going to Toys R Us.
The distant future.
Toys R Us distribution.
The Toys R Us distribution. But there are there's two ways in Red and Blue to get Mew. Both ways are considered illegal.
You have to like do a memory overrun in part of the game, or something like that. Like force it to glitch itself out by trying to use up too many or overlapping memory spaces or something like that.
There's something about starting a trainer battle and hitting start and flying away, and I'm not about that.
So the reason why people would want to get this into bank, I was wrong. I did 15 seconds of research and realized I was wrong, because I was going to say, because the things that you bring into bank from the Virtual Console games automatically get the hidden ability, but Mew has no hidden ability. So that just makes no sense. You are correct. When they had multiple opportunities to receive a legal Mew from distributions, there was no point in trying to get one from the Virtual Console games.
Yeah, it was February last year. You could use XY, Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. You could get Mew four times if you own the game, if you own four versions of the game. And then if you missed that, 3 months later, they sent out an email saying, hey, if you missed Mew, here's another code for Mew. There's a lot of opportunities to get Mew. I think I have three Mews from when I checked my Pokemon Bank. And
you mean Mew 3 is confirmed?
I got the Mew 3, and I got the Munanium Z thing to do as well. I actually got two more news articles here. Pokemon Bank unlocks a strange cutscene in Pokemon Sun and Moon. I have not seen this cutscene, but hopefully this isn't spoilery. Pokemon Bank is now compatible with Sun and Moon. We already know that. While the biggest selling point is the completely new expanded National Pokedex, the compatibility update also lets players encounter a curious new cutscene with the help of some transferred over old Pokemon. Bringing over Solrock from to Pokemon Sun or Lunatone to Pokemon Moon, the Pokemon Omega Ruby from Pokemon Omega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire, respectively, makes it possible to interact with a certain character in a particular way. And the, I guess for spoiler purposes, I won't go into what that is. I will just let you know that if you have a Lunatone or a Solrock from Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, go ahead and transfer that into Pokemon Sun and Moon. And if you want more details about that, there are some threads to go ahead. Here, I'll give you a head start. So you have to put those Pokemon in your party, and you have to fly to the ruins of Abundance on Ula Ula Island. Abundance. So those are the first two steps. There you go. Will is losing it.
Although I like the ruins of Abu Dance.
Abu Dance.
Like the ones of Dun Dun Dance.
Dun Dun Dance, Abu Dance. Those are the first two steps, three steps. Transfer your Lunatone and your Solrock to Pokemon Sun or Moon. Solrock has to go to Sun. Lunatone has to go to Moon. Put them in your party. Fly to Abu Dance and then go to Ula Island.
Someone please make a remix of... Can we have like music that's called the Dun Dun Dance? Then it's just a remix of Steve saying Dun Dun Dance into like a house remix.
If this was a live
a nightcore remix.
Just a reminder to everyone watching on stream, you can tweet the hashtag PKMNcast for your tweet to appear on stream. Final news article here. This is like the longest news segment we've had in a while. Pokemon Sun and Moon cheaters banned from online services. This article also from Polygon. Polygon just reporting on all the Pokemon news. Nearly 6,000 Pokemon Sun and Moon players are banned from using the Global Link, the game's main online feature. In an announcement on the Japanese Global Link page, the Pokemon company confirmed that players with illegal save data have been barred from going online. 5,954 players have been caught cheating thus far. That typically means they've used hacks, modifications, and other means to alter items and trainer info, or that they've used quote-unquote illegal Pokemon in online competition or trades. It is unclear which particular cheats they are getting in trouble with. The Pokemon company, however, and whether those who simply received hacked Pokemons unwitting are now facing the consequences too. We've reached out for clarification on what gets players booted from Global Link. I personally highly doubt Pokemon company is going to tell you what actually gets you banned. Then people would work around that. So the penalty for cheating is a permanent ban from participating in global missions. Yeah, because those have been so great so far. Rating battles and competitions. Affected players receive an error code when trying to connect to the internet and use these features. The Pokemon company also stated on Global Link site that it plans to keep an eye out for and ban additional cheaters in the future. It is a reminder that the Pokemon company does not go easy to those who tried to play Sun and Moon and other Pokemon games. In 2013, following the launch of Pokemon X and Y, more than 1,500 players were banned from competing on online tournaments because they used hack Pokemon. And there you go.
5,000 isn't a lot, so my inclination would be to think that it's not really something to... Because the article posed the question, oh, what if people ended up with hacked Pokemon that they just traded from a friend or something? Given that 5,000 isn't a lot of people, my guess would be it's a more obvious thing that they're banning. Although that's just an estimate, but that would be my guess.
Yeah, so it is 5,954 people explicitly. And if anybody wants to see, like, TPCI's official word on this, if you go to Pokemon-GL.com, they actually have in their news section an announcement about this. And the language that they specifically use is engaged in unauthorized modification of their game data. So I think they probably have a way of telling if somebody game sharked or otherwise modified their own game, not necessarily received a hacked Pokemon in a trade, but did something to their own cartridge or to their own save file.
Yeah, I doubt that anyone who received a hacked Pokemon is getting banned. I would assume that what you two said was more accurate, and I would wager to guess that it's probably more obvious of something like, oh, this Mewtwo has an ability of, you know, damp, and Mewtwo can't have that ability, and so therefore we know you've hacked it and you've cheated and you.
I'd say different. I would say that when you do your first attachment to the global link or whatever it is where you attach your Pokemon ID with your actual cartridge, I think it does a snap of some portion of your game file. And then if you did a later connection and they can tell that that portion has been modified in some way, they know that you hacked something
in the file.
Well, I don't think that they're banning people for being failed hackers. I don't know. I'm just saying that there's probably some checksum in there that it can verify against the data. And if the data has been changed, but that checksum hasn't been updated, then they know, you know, and it's like it's sufficiently hidden that people hacking their files haven't found it yet, because there used to be like the your trainer ID and then your hidden trainer ID. So if you were, why am I telling people how to hack Pokemon?
I was gonna say, I got so the speed by which I got intensely bored and uninterested once I heard the phrase checksum in the data. lightning speed. I was almost already asleep.
I'm just saying that there's things you can insert into. This is important when it comes to information security, but there are things you can insert into programming that are sufficiently hidden, but the program can do a check against itself and say, all right, this has changed, but this didn't change to go with it, so I know that I am no longer, I'm a faulty pro. Anyways.
Anyway,
the children cannot follow adult topics.
I appreciate your description of how things get hacked or not hacked. But yeah, there's your Pokemon news. A busier news week than the last couple. I don't really like pausing our live streams just for the sake of, I know as soon as we hit pause, we lose a bunch of viewers because everyone has short attention spans. But what we're going to do is I am going to pause the stream for about 60 seconds and then we'll be back. And we are back from our break. Make sure I was actually recording that. Hopefully you guys have turned on your recordings. That would be great. Here we go. Travis, you good on your end?
Oh, yep.
Okay, cool. All right, here we are. So I have a giveaway thing set up. We'll do that in a second. But before we get to that, also I need to turn this off. Oh, the managing Twitch streams. All right, so here we go. Apparently, we were gone for 159 seconds. That was way more than 60. I apologize. we will answer your guys' questions in Twitch. So please go ahead and ask us anything you want. We'll go ahead and answer those for you and get those out. Let me see if I have any. I do have. I'll read one email as we wait for questions to come in, because I know how delayed the chat is sometimes. So this message is from Chad. I don't know if we did read this. I don't think so. Hi, my name is Chad. First off, first, thanks for the past year of awesomeness. I started listening to around episode 200, and I've been a fan ever since. A little background, I meet maybe one of your older listeners. I am 34 and ended up in Pokemon Worlds thanks to my kids. I have three. Does this sound familiar to you two? Okay. They started playing Pokemon, and my wife and I picked up a starter pack of the TCG and picked up a copy of X for my 3DS. This was either the best idea or the worst. We both love Pokemon now, and it's an awesome hobby and pastime we share with our children. Recently back to your Patreon. I have been on the Slack off and on. As for the show, thanks for all the extra stuff you do. Oh, he also says, everyone is kind and welcoming. I love the extra long show mix-ups you do with various interviews. My kids love the Sun and Moon special series as well. It was nice to hear what others thought of it. Thank you so much. Well wishes to you, Travis and Will, and everyone else at the ISE team. So there you go. Not really a question there, but thank you, Chad, for writing in. I appreciate it. And the question,
I always like when people say that they have their kids listen to us too, because I think that's really cool. Pokemon is a game that's aimed for children, and it's really cool to see when the game is passed down from generation to generation as we pass our Pokemon up through Pokemon Bank from generation to generation.
Well, some of us do.
Well, sure.
Obviously, not all of us.
Yeah.
Not all of us. So we'll do some Twitch questions. Again, I have like magnets and stuff. That these are magnets, but I have stickers and everything.
I thought they were like, because it's hard to tell from the camera, that I didn't realize they were like magnets. I was like, did you make coasters?
I mean, I guess they'd be a pretty thin coaster, and if you have a metal table, it won't slide. We will tackle. So we'll do some giveaways in a bit here. We'll tackle some questions. Now that there are, oh my gosh, so many questions.
I don't want to know. I'm worried.
Genuine Gamer says, are you guys going to build competitive teams to go to events in the future? Will's just shaking his head. That doesn't come through in audio form.
Well, okay. So, because I was waiting for you to finish the question. I usually like to attend at least one regional a year if I can. Hopefully something close to DC. And outside of the realm of Pokemon, the company that makes Cardfight Vanguard has really messed up their competitive regionals and everything this year, so it's even more likely that I'll want to go to a Pokemon regional, and gives me a chance to hang out with some of my friends. So I will most likely get one team together and come to at least one regional, and I will let people know which one that's going to be when that comes around.
Yeah, similar thing for me. Yeah, similar thing. I was mostly working on finishing my Alolan Pokedex, which I only need to remember to actually ask my girlfriend to trade me her Lunala and then trade it back again. And then I'll have completed my Alolan Pokedex, and then I'll start my team. I think I've settled on the squad I'm going to use after playing a lot on Pokemon Showdown. It's not that exciting. It's, you know, because sometimes you just want to win. So so it's nothing. You know, I started with a team that was doing very well. It had weird stuff like Bruxish, and it had Beware, and it was doing pretty well on the lower ladder. Like, it was crushing on the lower ladder, and then when I got onto the higher ladder, it stopped doing well, which is sort of the opposite of what the current team I ended up with was doing. It wasn't doing very well lower, but once I got higher, it started doing well. The one I think I'm going to make centers around Choice Scarf Vanillux to just use Blizzard a lot, and then and that's the only like interesting choice that I made on the team. The rest of the stuff is pretty boring. Tapus and Arcanine and some Ultra Beasts.
Sure. As for me, probably not. I'm not really into the competitive scene as much as Will and Travis are. I've accepted my fate that I am not really too good at it. But as for like attending regionals or future events, I think there will be more of those this year for us, whether that or not that's specifically a regionals, but PAX or C2E2 or Midwest Gaming Classic, like those are definitely events that I'll be at. I'm happy to say that the PAX in Boston will be the first time live featuring not only me, because I'm there at every event live, obviously, but Will and Travis will both be there with me.
What?
And that is just really exciting and something that we got worked out very quickly and planned very quickly. And so I know tickets have been sold out for PAX Boston. I believe we are speaking on Friday, I think at 2 p.m. So I don't know all the details there. I don't know if it's still possible to get day passes there or whatnot. I know sometimes people buy a 3-day pass, but they don't plan on going one of the 2 days. So they sell the... Well, what PAX does is they don't give you a universal pass. They give you 3 passes for each day. And so sometimes people don't go to Sunday or sometimes people don't go to Friday, so they sell those passes separately. I don't have all the details there, but I do know if you can't attend PAX, obviously we'll have that recorded. But yeah, it's very exciting that for the first time, Travis, Will, and I will all be at the same like event actually presenting. It was really funny that when I went to the Seattle PAX, PAX West, and I spoke and did what I did, you know, mispronounce stuff and whatnot. We had a couple people come up to me after the show and they were like, oh, I really wanted to just meet Will, or I was really expecting to see Travis. And I was like, well, I'm here, guys, but me.
But me.
But no, I get it. I totally get it. When I listen to podcasts, there are definitely people that I like more than other people, or just people that I gel with better. No one gels with me, of course. I'm the voice of disagreement on the shows, but that is why you two are here, because there is some ways to easily relate to you guys. Just a reminder, if you're watching and you tweet at Pokemon, if you tweet hashtag PKMNcast, it will appear on our Twitch stream. Just a reminder there. Next question here is, I'm missing questions, so I'll circle back if I missed it. By MDude430, what is your favorite piece of music from Pokemon Sun and Moon?
That's a tough question because I like the champions theme that was in
all the trailers. I think that, I mean, it's sort of weird that I'm saying, oh, the song that was in the trailer, but like, that song is... Yeah. I think it's just awesome and doesn't have the aesthetic that a typical Pokemon song does. Not that Pokemon music in general is bad, but it's just a very new aesthetic that fits the new region in a cool way, and I don't know, has a lot of energy to it.
Will?
It hasn't suffused me yet for me to have something picked out as an individual. Like, you know, obviously for me, the Unova themes, if you play something for me, I can actually name exactly what song it is, where it's from, everything.
Trainer's eyes meet.
Place. Yeah, of course, right? No, but it's like, you know how you have songs in your playlists where, like, if it comes on, you never skip it? It's just, like, that kind of a song for you. So, like, Icarus City for me, I can never skip that song. No matter if, like, I'm in the most horrible mood and listening to depressing movie music, and it, like, that song comes on, it's like, I still have to listen to it. But, yeah, I'm just not there with Sun and Moon yet.
All right. I have said this before. I normally play the games with the volume pretty low, so I don't really hear the full range of music. But I do know that one... the two songs that stood out to me was the Team Skull theme song and then Gladion's theme song, which I think is what is Gladion's like a slight, I can't remember, it's like slightly different than Team Skull but shares a couple of the notes.
Could be. Yeah, I don't really remember.
I like both of them, but I'm not sure which one is which offhand. But yeah, those were the songs that stood out to me. Lysander03 asks, are we allowed to talk about postgame yet? No. We'll get to that eventually. Read it.
Everyone dies, actually. Yeah, it's really weird for a Pokemon game, but literally every character just dies.
It's real brutal. I have to like move.
Are we only not talking about postgame because you haven't played the postgame yet, Steve?
Hey, I talked to the girl with the purple hair standing next to Looker.
Oh, Abigail?
Yeah, no, that's no. Her name's not Abigail, is it?
Looker's boss.
Yeah, Looker's boss.
Her name Abigail?
I don't remember what her name is.
No, I thought it was shorter, but I did think it started with an A. Sorry, I have to like turn. My questions are over here. justifying why I'm like messing with my mic. Read It and Weep says, is a Hot Pocket a sandwich?
Obviously not. Period.
Is it not?
Obviously not, period. Done. No. The breading is not independent in any way, shape, or form. Is a corn dog a sandwich? A Hot Pocket is basically a corn dog without a stick.
I want to apologize. Her name is Annabelle, not Abigail. And I realize I'm late and I'm not talking about, yeah.
No, that's fine. I knew it started with an A and I knew it wasn't Abigail. A Hot Pocket is not a sandwich. I have to agree with Will. A hot dog, on the other hand, possibly.
Would you? I will leave right now and take 1/3 of your listeners with me.
I know we asked this.
Oh, you've got more of a pull than 1/3.
I know.
You're the fan favorite.
That's not true.
You're the glue holding this ship together.
That's debatable.
Debatable. I know we've answered this question before, but I believe either Travis or Will wasn't here for this. I think B Team's finest Micah was here. Midnight Shadow says, "What is your favorite Pokemon merch you all own?"
Let me go into my bag of Pokemon merch, which I just happen to have.
You just have.
This would be right here.
All
right,
that's pretty great. What is that? That's the world's 2016 binder?
2014. It is a notebook. Still in the wrapper. Probably worth about $5 on eBay.
Yep. You know what's worth a lot? There were specific Timbuktu Pokemon bags that went out to just like top people who placed Top Cut or whatever they call it for the video game. I think it's still Top Cut. But those are worth quite a bit. You can get Timbuktu Pokemon stuff on PokemonCenter.com, but it's not the same as this specific bag was. And I think they did it two or three years in a row. But I think it's a better looking bag. It's black with some embroiderment on it. But yeah, that's actually worth quite a bit. Pretty much anything that is
video format.
Anything that's
we're in a video format. You guys vamp.
All right, we are in a video format. Of course, Will just left for those listening to audio. Anything that is Top Cut specific, definitely worth money. Travis, do you have a favorite Pokemon merch? As Will is off doing something,
probably my Woobat plushie. I like Woobat. It's not a Pokemon I talk about a lot, but I really like it, and it saddens me that people just say it's annoying because they already don't like Zubat, so they automatically don't like Woobat and don't realize that Woobat and Swoobat are really cute. And then I have a Snorlax plushie that I like, too, that it's one of those that has some memories tied to it because a friend bought it for me when we were on a high school trip to Disney World as Steve is slowly raising a Jirachi plush up into the frame. But yeah, so there are plushies that I have like memories associated with of like certain trips where I got them, but if we take those factors out of it, probably the Woobat plushie is my favorite.
So when I answered this question the first time, and I realized this is very special to me that I wanted to say this, I had talked about the gifts I got from Andrew in Japan. And I talked about the furoshiki, which for some reason is probably like on the other side of my computer and I just can't find it right now. But he also gave me this little bag that I keep my 3DS in that has the X and Y starters in. But I wanted to bring that up because he just had twins like yesterday, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
So congratulations to him on that.
Congratulations to Andrew.
Congrats, Andrew.
Wait, you guys talk. I got my favorite thing of merch. Hold on. What was the word you called that?
A furoshiki? This is just a bag, but I can't find the furoshiki in enough time.
Yeah, furoshiki. So
he sounds like a Seinfeld episode. Furoshiki, furoshiki.
Furoshiki now, serenity now.
So don't you understand? As a philosophy student, a virtually on the moon.
All right. How many?
I mean,
the real question: how many cats do you think is what I'm about to hold up?
Five.
Do you already know what it is?
Yeah. This is video, sir.
That's pretty good. That's not five cats. Well,
it's pretty big.
Four. I'll give it four.
It's pretty big. Sorry, I was away from my mic. It's probably...
Each ear is one cat.
Yeah. For the audio listener, it's a big...
It's like
Pikachu face, but face only.
Covered in cat hair, too, because my cat... Hold on, I got the This Is Fine plush too.
Is it a pillow or is it a plush?
It's, I believe, it's on PokemonCenter.com right now. It's, I think it's $40. It's a pillow? Did I ever tell you? So I got this thing at Gen Con, and they had a bunch of plushes at Gen Con. Like, they had the giant Bulbasaur plush and Squirtle and Pikachu, and then they had this Pikachu head, and it was, I think it was priced at $29 maybe, $29 or something. And I was like, oh, that's a good price for that. And so I was like, oh, I'll get that. That's cool. And I went to check out and it rang up as $50. And I was like, that's fine. Like, I'm already here. I'm not going to, here's my money. Just whatever. I just want to get out of line. I pulled somebody aside who wasn't busy after I purchased it. Just butchering words. I was like, hey, I just paid $50 for this, and I pointed to it at the shelf, and I was like, it's labeled $29 over there, so either I was rung up, or it's not priced right, and I just don't want anyone in the future to, you know, try to buy that and then have the same issue I did, but maybe they just rang me up wrong. And he was like, oh no, that's totally, it is supposed to be $50, but you're right, it was mispriced, so they gave me a refund, but then they also gave me like 20% off for pointing out the issue or whatever. So it came to like $20 instead of like $50 that it was supposed to be. It's like not my all time favorite piece of Pokemon merchandise, but it's probably three cats big. So that in itself. Oh, here's the This Is Fine Dog cat ratio here. Throw them on the ground. Yeah. So
how many cat dogs is it?
Cat Dog was not a good TV show.
That does not answer my question. And also, it wasn't that bad, if memory serves.
Oh, it was awful.
Oh, was it?
Comparative to other programs that were on at the same time.
Yeah, there were better TV shows. Pat from Palette says, what drives the three of you to keep such a dedicated interest in Pokemon games as well as your Pokemon fans from ISE?
The money.
the fame. I don't know. I just really like Pokemon. The games are they have the precise formula of things that I like in video games. They have characters that are well designed that I can easily fall in love with. It has RPG. It's an RPG, so I can feel like I am growing with the characters. It has interactivity, so I can play with my friends. It's got all of the things that I like, and then add to that the fact that as each game comes out, there's another layer of nostalgia that I'm tapping into whenever a new game comes out, so it just happens to be a franchise that's perfectly tailored to the things I like, so it's not that hard for me to continue to like it, you know?
Will? Anything from you?
I mean, I just like the people that we get to meet from doing this. And, you know, that's, you know, playing Pokemon and enjoying the games and being able to talk about them gives me access to so many wonderful people who also enjoy the games. And we can have that shared space for conversation that can then lead on to other conversations.
That too.
Yeah, for me, it's a space of community. Like, it's hard to imagine what the community was like before Slack, because my days usually start and end with checking the Slack and seeing everyone talk and be friendly. And just even last night when Andrew, our friend from Japan, had his two kids and posted that he was a new father, and everyone like congratulated him, and he like took the time. I'm sure there was a million people he texted or told, but the fact that he took a moment to like show a picture of his new, he had twins, by the way, of his two new kids, and like that was really special and that was really cool. And the emails we get and just the community in general around this podcast has just been in itself something that's very motivating and something that gives me a reason to do it every week. And then of course the product itself is something I enjoy. Like, I like the games, I like the TV show. For the most part, I mean, I'll complain about it, but I did enjoy the time I spent with the card game. I just like a lot of stuff about everything. And even though I only put 40 hours into Pokemon Sun, and I know most of our listeners put 200 or 400 or however many hours into the game, like, that's still a good amount of time. And I can put, you know, 10 hours into Uncharted 4 or 6 hours into Duskers or 20 hours into Monster Hunter. But the 40 hours I put into Pokemon are really like something I remember very, very well and something that I enjoyed. And it's also something I look forward to every 3 years or 2 years or however many they put it off. And I would probably, and when I played the card game, it was like every 3 months I looked forward to the new set. And I was very excited and I spent a lot of money, and that's one of the reasons why I left that. But it's almost like Pokemon always gives you something to look forward to, whereas other franchises don't do that. And that's kind of weird to say because, you know, obviously other franchises continue and do more stuff, but there's just something about Pokemon where it's like every week there's almost something new. And obviously there's something new because we end up talking about something every week, and there's usually one or two news articles every single week. And that's just, I don't know if a lot of other franchises have that, if they're not like League of Legends or WoW or Dota or, you know, something really, really big. But Pokemon is something that's really big, and people outside of the community might not see that. I get asked that all the time of like, oh, you do a Pokemon podcast? Well, what is there to talk about every week? And it's like, oh boy, there's a lot to talk about every week. So that's my answer.
We managed to make 3-hour episodes not infrequently.
So does anybody find it strange that Andrew named his twins Reuniclus and Gothitelle?
Yeah,
it's a little odd.
You know, I support his choice, but, you know, Colma 5.
I mean, Unova fans unite, but boy, those version exclusive psychic Pokemon, that's a little odd.
Colma 5.
I bet you could make some cute nicknames out of Reuniclus and Gothitelle. Could be like Rennie and Telly.
All right. You know, you keep...
I mean, there's something in there.
Colma 5 says... Well, I lost the question now. Can we see a Will vs. Travis series on YouTube?
Will...
What is that?
As you know, literally something I was thinking earlier today is for the defining thing between Travis and me is, for as much as I love pedantry, Travis hates pedantry.
Oh, yeah. That is,
and
that
we
is
will
our
battle
main
to
sticking
the
point.
End.
Does this question mean, does this question asker want us to like fight?
I think
like fisticuffs.
I think it's like Pokemon.
I mean,
battle.
We know who's gonna win that. There's no question.
Like, yeah, no, because I will lose.
Like streaming Pokemon, like a Pokemon battle competition.
I mean, sure, we can do that.
Give me some time to breed a team.
Yeah, same. It'll take me a while, but
Jay Kendall says, "I'm considering getting into the TCG. Is it worth it?"
depends on how rich you are. I mean, I love trading card games. If I could afford the Pokemon trading card game, I would still be playing the Pokemon trading card game, but it's just too expensive for me to keep up with.
Yeah.
I love the gameplay. I like that it's they always keep it balanced and they always change it. You know, they're always introducing something new. It really doesn't get stale, but it's expensive.
This is what I would say. I would say that if you're thinking about getting into the TCG, I would say you should if you have one or two or even more friends that are willing to get into it with you. And then if you are getting to the TCG, it just depends on how competitive or not so much being competitive, but if you want it to like travel to competitions to at least hang out with people and do that. Because at the competitions at like regionals or states or anything, like there are side events with the card game that you can win prizes and stuff for. But if you don't have anyone to travel with or anyone to like split gas or anything with, or even like hotels, if it's far enough away, like Will and I met up in Indiana a couple times and that was us driving like Will 10 hours one way, me 6 hours the other way. And like that cost adds up. So if it's definitely an expensive hobby if you plan on keeping up with it. Now there is, you could go the route of not buying booster packs and playing and just buying cards for what decks are doing very well. And some decks are pretty cheap, like the Zekrom Electric deck, which was very popular when Will and I was playing, was like a $15 deck when all said and done when you bought the cards. But there was a Mewtwo Darkrai deck right before Worlds, and that was about a $560 deck because Mewtwo and Darkrai were $60 to $70 a piece, and you needed four of each. So that's eight cards that are $60-some dollars each. And that was the best deck at the time. Whereas Zekrom Electric, it was one of the best decks at the time. I actually think it won quite a bit, and it was like a $15 deck. So it just depends on money you want to spend. Somebody in chat asked what happened to Glove Window. That was Doodlebro 43.
There's Glove Window right there. It's just a regular window now. I was also going to say, if you get into TCGs and you're a regular person like me, prepare for your home to be covered in playing stacks and stacks of playing cards and playing card boxes that they come in, because you just keep buying them and you end up with a bunch of junk ones that you're never going to use, but you don't want to throw them away. I mean, they're nice cards that were printed.
Midnight Shadow says, when is the next art show? Oh boy. Right now, never. I shouldn't say that. I would say that if I was to do another... So the hardest part about the art show, I think, is the venue itself and finding a venue. I don't know. So I've done two art shows before, two Pokemon art shows. They were done for charities, both to Child's Play, both raised over $1,000 for Child's Play. Actually, getting the artists and getting the art, that was actually surprisingly easy, especially for the first art show. I think I was in contact with 100 artists. 70 or 68 of them came through, and that was really great. But I had a venue that I found after a bunch of research and a bunch of talking to people and like going places and like sitting down and like waiting for them to give me the tour and seeing if it was okay, and then, you know, paying for the venue itself up front. I had a venue called Bucket Works, which is really great. That was the one that Will was at, and it was like the best size, not the best location, but a pretty decent location. And we did the art show there, and then...
I mean, I was there, too. It wasn't just Will.
You know, Travis
but
was
there,
too.
But you went to both of them.
Yes.
I did go to both of them. Oh, you didn't go to Battle City?
No. So then the second art show, which was about a year later, we changed the theme. It was supposed to be at Bucket Works. I made all the promotional material. I had, you know, 1,000 posters printed and all these postcards printed, like 500 postcards printed. It said this date, I don't remember the date, and it said Bucket Works. It had the address. And then 2 weeks after I printed all that stuff out, Bucket Works was like, hey, we're going out of business. We have no money. Sorry, you don't have a venue now. It was like, Oh, well, all right. I don't know how I'm supposed to find a venue in like 3 months, but here we go. And a shout out to Micah, who was somebody who helped me find a new venue, and we found a new venue. And I don't think it was as great as Bucket Works. It was definitely bigger. And it was a lot more work to and money to reprint and do everything and move it all over. I don't think it was as successful as the first one. So would I want to do another art show? Yes. I don't think Milwaukee is the best place for that. So it would have to be in another city, whether or not if I move there or I can, you know, work with another city that's, you know, an hour or two away, like Chicago or something, because I'm in the Milwaukee area. It would have to be something like that. And the hardest part would be, you know, finding a venue, getting the time, and then working with artists after that. But really securing a venue is the hardest part. And quite frankly, there's not any good venues in Milwaukee that I feel comfortable hosting an art show at. It's a Stallion 13 says, Travis, what's the name of your other podcast?
Arbitrary Archive.
There you go. Oh,
that's all right.
It's all right. It's a show.
New episode probably tomorrow. I'll edit it tonight.
Ty Lord asks in chat, what do you think the future of Pokemon is going to be with the Nintendo Switch coming out? It being a console/handheld combo sort of thing, could we be seeing a big change in the way games look, gameplay, etc.?
Well, not a big change back to single screen gaming the way it used to be. Back in my day, we only had one screen to work with and we were happy with it. We just popped our menus up when we needed menus to be up, and then the menus went up down when they needed to be down. And that's all fine.
Yeah, I don't know that it'll be that different. The graphical power of a Nintendo Switch is certainly stronger than that of a 3DS, but we're not talking about Xbox One or PS4 level hardware, right? I mean, this is, what are people saying? It's like something like a PS3 or an Xbox 360 in terms of graphical power, which is, you know, pretty good for something that can be mobile, but I don't think the difference in graphics are necessarily going to inspire a vast revolution in gameplay. I think it's still going to be Pokemon, and we've already had two 3D Pokemon games, so probably just more of that, but a little nicer looking would be my anticipation.
If you have two 3DSs, it doesn't matter if it's new, old, 2DS. If you have two 3DSs in your house and they both have different Pokemon games, I would encourage you to pull up Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire on one and stand in a Pokemon Center, and then pull up Sun and Moon on the other and stand in a Pokemon Center, and you will see one of the most dramatical graphical differences between the two games, even though they're like 2 years apart. And
yeah,
I am very excited if that can only get better. If it moves to Switch, like, that would be awesome, because I don't think, even though Sun and Moon looks significantly better than Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, I still don't think it's good enough. But I would say the same about Monster Hunter. Like, after seeing Monster Hunter 3U on Wii U and then going to like Monster Hunter 4 or Generations on 3DS, it's just that in the back of your head going, I know how good this can look, and I want that look.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there are so many questions. Everyone's like, I'm like scrolling through and people are like, Annabelle, like, let's do like one or two more. I'm really sorry if I like missed your question too, by the way.
Is that the song by the guy, the murder ballad? They called me the Wild Rose, but my name was Annabelle Lee. Is that the song?
I like the name Annabelle. I'm a fan of that name. BL Sizzle 90 says, how into Pokemon would you be today if you didn't have it super effective? That's a really good question.
It's hard for me. I mean, I probably wouldn't. No, because I was doing competitions before I got involved with this crew. I'd still be playing the games, definitely.
I'll tell a story. I might have told this before, but maybe I haven't. But when I got back into Pokemon, it was Diamond and Pearl. I had a friend...
Nothing can stop you, Diamond and Pearl.
I had a friend who talked me into getting back into Pokemon because I fell out. As everyone knows, I fell out during Ruby and Sapphire. So he talked me into getting Diamond and Pearl, and I thought, okay, like... And again, this was a long time ago. I was like, okay, like, I'm getting this kid's game, but I'm doing it with a friend. And even though that it's silly and probably not for us, it should just be fun that we're playing this game together. And my mindset was, I remember playing Red and Blue with my sister when I was like 10 years old. And that was like, that was a very fond and strong childhood memory. So for $39.95 to do that again with a friend I was living with, that seems to be worth the price of admission. I was very into Diamond and Pearl at the time. I went back. I played Fire Red and Leaf Green. I played Ruby and Sapphire from start to finish. After that, and my friend fell off probably halfway through Diamond. I think they got. Fast forward to a couple years later, Heart Gold and Soul Silver were coming out. There was a year or two that passed where, you know, I didn't really think about Pokemon at all. Aaron, as older listeners might know, was the one that talked me into getting Pokemon at the time. I don't know if I've ever said that, but he was like, hey, we should get the new Pokemon games. And I was like, oh, I honestly didn't even know they were coming out at the time. And I was like, yeah, sure, like that seems fun. Again, that reminded me of when Diamond and Pearl came out, $39.95 price of admission for us to like play this for the entire weekend together and then never think of it again. And when Heart Gold Soul Silver came out, we went to a GameStop at 8 a.m. I think they had a early open, right? Because GameStop normally opens at 10. And so we got Heart Gold Soul Silver and we sat on my couch and we watched documentaries on Netflix all day and played Heart Gold Soul Silver.
This and is what, blowing my mind. Did ISE really not exist until after Heart Gold and Soul Silver came out?
Yeah, it existed after Heart Gold Soul Silver. So at the time I was listening to a weekly gaming podcast from 1UP.com, which no longer exists. And I was very like very excited for them to talk about Pokemon because they always talk about what they've been playing, and they skipped Pokemon, they didn't talk about it. And then the next week they skipped Pokemon, they didn't talk about it. And then I was like, I want to hear, like, I was very into podcasts at the time, I want to hear somebody talk about Pokemon, and no one on that show did. And finally I looked for Pokemon podcasts and I found a couple, and you know, most didn't do an episode in quite a while. And I told the podcast I did find, which was by Games Radar, was Pokemon Monday, and I listened to that, and it was fine, it was good. And then I decided, like, hey, I should start my own podcast because there's not that many out there, and I feel like I know Pokemon pretty well. Surprise, I don't. As you guys listen to this, you guys all know way more than I do, but that's okay. But I will say this: even if sometimes when there have been moments where I thought about like throwing in the towel with the show or taking some time off with the podcast, or for example, when Pokemon Conquest came out, I didn't play that at all. I bought it. I have it. It's on my shelf. I've played maybe 10 minutes of it.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fine. Even with all those moments up to that point, like it's still hard for me not to like Pokemon or smile about Pokemon when I see like a new plush on the shelf at Target, or when I'm flipping through Netflix or Hulu and I see Pokemon come up and I turn on an episode like that. Like, there's, besides just the game, even if I'm burnt out with the game, there's so many other outlets to Pokemon that make it enjoyable for me to, and like slowly brings me back into. Like, I was burnt out when Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire came out. Like, I just wasn't in the mood to play a Pokemon game, but that doesn't, like, I didn't stop liking Pokemon. I just didn't feel like going through a really bad version of Generation 3. Generation 3 is not that bad.
Too much water.
As I said before, my New Year's, or maybe I just tweeted it, my New Year's resolution is to not get into arguments about Generation 3, so I will not say anything.
Gracefully abstain.
Yep. You know, I have a similar story to Steve. I didn't fall out for Gen 3. I played that game. But it took some convincing for my, on my brother's behalf, for him to convince me to buy Diamond and Pearl, and then I did, and I was right back in and hooked, and especially after Heart Gold and Soul Silver came out, those games were incredible. I would just say that, and because of that, I think I wouldn't have fallen off Pokemon again, because they haven't really released a lot of bad games since then. I mean, I have my opinions, like, I think Black 2 and White 2 and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire weren't as strong as some of the other games that were releasing around that time, but generally, those games are still good, so I don't think I would have fallen off. I would say two things about what this show has done in reference to my enjoyment of Pokemon. The first is just that the amount of people it has allowed me to meet who are so on fire for Pokemon has made me love it more. I wouldn't have met all of these people. I would have just had my brother and a few friends from high school that were into Pokemon for me to play with, so giving me a large number of people who enjoy the same hobby as I do is obviously makes it more enjoyable. And then I think doing this show every week meant that I never really took a break from Pokemon like I might have after. Like, there are some points where there haven't been a new game in a very long time, and I think if this show hadn't existed, I probably just wouldn't be thinking about Pokemon until the new game came out, but that doesn't happen when you're talking about Pokemon news every week. Is Will asleep? Your eyes were, like, closed.
Both our stories, just
you can't,
put them to bed.
I can't see them with my glasses. It's just, they're not closed.
Will, do you have a sad story or no?
I don't have any sad story. Right. I have always enjoyed playing Pokemon. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have gotten as deep into the competitive stuff without all the internet people that have helped me with that. So, there. I mean, fundamentally, I wouldn't have been as deep.
Yeah. Well, let's do some giveaways here. Some of you are still hanging out, so that's awesome. Thank you for... I figured this was going to be about 2 hours long. We started a little bit late. Travis, I'll have Travis prep the Pokemon of the Week here, and as he does that, we'll do some...
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh, he's ready. We'll do some giveaways. I don't know how this works. Micah, who has been moderating the chat along with Tyler, they're there. So I'm going to hit this open button, and I think if you type in hashtag raffle in chat, if I spelt it right, that would be a thing. That should put people in the raffle. I entered myself in the raffle by doing that, so hopefully if my account comes up and wins, I'll just redraw. So we'll do a giveaway for that. It'll be like stickers and magnets. I don't have any stickers on me. They're in the
Snickers.
Other Snickers.
I love Snickers.
And magnets. like I said, I have magnets here. Or coasters. They're definitely magnets. I don't have any stickers on my desk, and I don't really... trust me, I do have stickers and stuff. So those will be in. So we'll draw that. So you guys can enter, and I'll try to find my stickers, actually. But I'll let Travis run down our Pokemon of the Week right now.
All right, our Pokemon of the Week is Marowak, specifically Alolan Marowak, because you can only use Pokemon that are obtainable within Sun and Moon in the VGC format. So we're going to do Alolan Marowak here, one of the most popular Pokemon in the format right now, mostly because it checks a lot of popular Pokemon, notably Celesteela and Tapu Koko, especially Tapu Koko. The moves that we're going to use comes to us from Slowbro trainer Brandon in our Pokemon of the Week Slack channel. Your item is going to be Thick Club, which is an item that specifically increases the attack of Marowak. The ability, and this is where things deviate a little bit from the standard set, the ability is going to be Rock Head, which prevents damage from recoil. The EVs are going to be 252 in attack and 252 in HP, with the four remaining in defense with an adamant nature. The moves will be Flare Blitz, Shadow Bone, Bone Meringue, and Double Edge, taking advantage of Rockhead for Flare Blitz and Double Edge. Marowak is quite useful because with Bone Meringue, it can one-shot Tapu Koko, which is very good to do because it's the second most popular Pokemon in the format, and because it's a move that hits twice, it doesn't matter if they're using a Focus Sash, which Tapu Koko often will. Flare Blitz is there because you want a strong fire type move, and it also can KO Celesteela, which is a tricky Pokemon to take out if you don't have something specifically to counter it. Shadow Bone, another good same type attack bonus move to have. And then Double Edge is in there just for some coverage in case the Pokemon resists your other moves, and it takes advantage of Rock Head as well. The more common set for Alolan Marowak is going to be with the Lightning Rod ability. And the reason you'd have that is because even though Alolan Marowak can just on its own pretty much counter Tapu Koko, the ability to prevent it, because Tapu Koko outspeeds Marowak, the ability to prevent it from using electric moves at all is very helpful, especially if you're pairing Alolan Marowak with a water type Pokemon. So you can send out a water type Pokemon even if you think they're going to send out Tapu Koko or another electric type if you have a Marowak with Lightning Rod there, because Lightning Rod will take that electric type move and increase Alolan Marowak's special attack, dealing no damage, although not really going to take advantage of that special attack increase. The only exception is if the Pokemon uses a move specifically Discharge, because then Alolan Marowak won't take damage, but your partner Pokemon will, as Discharge hits all of the Pokemon on the field. And the more common set is only slightly different. Instead of Double Edge, you run Protect, but Shadow Bone, Flare Blitz, and Bone Meringue still get used. You still use Thick Club. It's pretty much the only item you would use on Marowak because it's its specific item. And a lot of sets are the 252 in HP and attack. There's some difference here and there if people are only putting enough EVs in there to be able to KO Celesteela. I think someone in the Slack chat mentioned that. Yeah. Brandon Weisner says you only need 172 EVs in attack if you're doing the Adamant Nature to be able to one-hit KO Celesteela. So if that's mainly what you're worried about, you could also build an EV spread that gives you a little more bulk or maybe a little more speed if you want to outspeed a specific thing. But sometimes you don't want to do that because Marowak can be a good check to Trick Room teams because it's not that fast on its own. I think I said most of the things, right? Did I do it? Did I do good?
Yeah. I mean, I was setting up a raffle while you were saying that, so sure. I trust that your your description was good. Let me see if this works. I hit the draw button.
Blink, 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 blink.
Announce the winner in this chat. It does show up there. Of course, the first person I drew was myself, so I drew again. So there you go. We drew one person. We'll draw a couple more, too, so don't worry. So RS Johnson 79, if you were there, just do that DM thing, that private message thing. I won't get to it till after the show, so just message me on Twitch, and I will get it there. And if you really want, you can actually, if you DM me on Twitter, that would be even better. But you can DM me on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast, or just message me on Twitch, and I'll get to it after that. But congrats, we'll get you sorted out here. I'll actually take a screenshot of it just so I don't forget. Okay, and we'll do one more right now, and then I'll read some stuff about Pokemon of the Week, and then we'll do a couple more. So let's hit this draw button and read it and weep. There you go. Man, what a great raffle tool. Big shout out to Micah to letting me know that it worked. I think it worked. So far it worked. So again, if you win, just DM me on Twitter or DM me in Twitch. Either way, I will get to it after the show. But some fun facts here about Marowak. Let me move this back in front of my face. Shiny Marowak, you dropped the ball. Shiny Marowak is green instead of tan. Looks like its skull is the same color, but yep.
What about shiny Alolan Marowak?
It doesn't show it on Bulbapedia, which is a bit of a bummer.
Come on, Bulbapedia.
I don't know. Some trivia: in Pokemon Red, Blue, Beta, Marowak was known as Gardua, the Spanish word for guardian. So yeah, I'm probably saying that wrong. According to some Marowak Generation 2 and 4 Pokédex entries, somewhere exists a legendary Marowak graveyard. This is a reference to an elephant's graveyard of modern myth. That's pretty cool. And what else do we have here? Until the release of Pokémon Black and White 2, the appearance of Black and White Kyurem, Marowak is the only Pokémon in main games to be found in a location where it's not able to be caught at all, which I think was in the Lavender Tower. Right.
Wait, I was looking. I was trying to look at what Alolan Marowak shiny is, so I didn't. Wasn't paying attention to you at all.
I'm pretty sure it was Lavender Tower. And final tidbit here is Alolan Marowak is the only dual type Pokemon with its pre evolutions that share no types with it. People seem to really like Alolan Marowak
because it's cool.
Oh no, I mean it's cool. It's all right.
It makes other like fire ghost type Pokemon just look like garbage. Shiny Alolan Marowak is purple.
I'm like going through and like readjusting tweets here. Okay, so there we go. Let's do a couple more raffles here, and then we'll do some house cleaning. Oh, I did get other stickers, by the way. Look at these stickers.
Are those magnets or stickers?
No, these are stickers.
Oh, I got one of those as a magnet.
I do have those in magnet form. I think I might be out. I have these, which... they're window stickers, so they go on like inside of windows, which are pretty cool. And then I have buttons left over, so when you win, you're gonna get like a. I still have these buttons left for Pokemon Go. When you win, you don't get to pick what you get. You'll just get an assortment of stickers.
I think
and
you're
buttons.
Holding it too high for the webcam to see.
I have a different webcam for Twitch. That's
yeah. It's the one that makes him look good and makes us look like crap.
Yeah. No. Totally. Okay. Yep. Okay. Let's do another winner here. That's going to be Midnight Shadow with 2 W's inside window stickers. Yep. So there you go. You've won. And we'll probably do 2 more, but house cleaning as we wrap up here. And again, I'll pick a couple more winners. If you haven't done so already, we do have a subreddit that I've advertised at the bottom of the show, r/supereffective. If you haven't left us a review in iTunes, we hit 701 reviews, and I am so happy that you guys brought us there. It was really, really great. So thank you so much. The goal for 2017 is to get to 800 reviews. So we have 300 and some days, 99 reviews to go. I think it's totally doable. So again, thank you for everyone who left us a review in iTunes. If you haven't done so already, please jump over to iTunes, leave us a review. Walkin' the Dog is our next winner here. So go ahead, DM me on Twitch and or on Twitter. Get you your stickers and stuff. I appreciate you guys all coming out and joining us for our 250. Besides me talking, the stream has gone smoothly. That's the real downfall here. Is somehow I host and attempt to talk week after week, and somehow it's manageable to listen to. If you guys want more streams, live shows, or just me playing games, or even maybe Travis or Will playing games, let us know, whether that's in Slack or on Twitter or on Facebook, or just let us know if you want more of this stuff, because we can definitely do it. What else do we have for house cleaning? What else did I miss? Patreon.com/itssupereffective if you want to support the show. Twitter.com/ or just at Pokemon Podcast for Twitter, obviously. Let's pick another winner here. Oh my gosh. Don't crash on me. Here we go. Draw. Lysander. Nah, Greg doesn't get to win.
No.
Nah, Greg doesn't get to win. Greg already gets
to win. That's
what
happens when you're part of the team. You don't get prizes anymore.
Nah, I'll probably send Greg something. Well, we'll do a do-over. Greg, you'll still get something, but we'll do something else. Jibunani95, go ahead and Rip Greg. Go ahead and message me on Twitter. Travis and Will, do you have anything to wrap up before we wrap up?
Nah.
Mm-mm. I believe it's Jibunyan from Yo-Kai Watch, but...
Yeah, all right. That could that's the cat, isn't it? That's the cat?
Yes.
The red one. Jibunyan. Yes. Cool. But that's pretty much our show for you guys today. So thank you so much for hanging out. If you want, like I said, if you want to see more live stuff like this or just other stuff in general, please let me know. Let Travis know, let Will know, let us know on Twitter and whatnot. Otherwise, and if you won, go ahead and message me. And if you're listening to, if you made it to the end of this, thank you so much for listening and or watching. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast. And we are
super effective.
Virtually on the moon, on the moon.
Keep that dog clean in 2017.
Bye.
Make it stop. Make it stop.